From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. July 23rd through July 29th will be one of the biggest weeks of the summer at the University of Alaska. In addition to students attending regular summer sessions, four teacher institutes and special programs on campus, nearly 400 persons will be on campus attending conferences and meetings. The dedication of the new Arctic Health Research Center will be held on July 26th, and two very famous royal visitors will be on campus July 29th. These events are our story today on This Is Your University. More than 100 scientists will converge on the University of Alaska campus during the week of July 23rd to participate in a symposium on circumpolar health-related problems. The scientists will represent most of the polar countries of the world: the United States, Canada, the Soviet Union, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and Iceland. During the week-long symposium, the scientists will study and discuss medical and health problems of the northern regions of the world. The symposium is sponsored by the university and the Arctic Institute of North America. Two public evening programs will be held during the symposium. The first will be conducted Tuesday, July 25th, by scientists from the University of Alaska's Institute of Arctic Biology. The second will be held on Thursday, July 27th, and will deal with clothing and nutrition in the Arctic. On Monday, July 24th, a group of 20 distinguished educators and representatives from foundations will arrive on campus for a three-day visit. The group is participating in a tour of the so-called Middle North. The tour is sponsored by the Arctic Institute of North America. The Middle North tour includes visits to several Alaskan cities and villages and to areas of northern Canada. While at the university, the group will meet with members of the university's research institutes and tour the campus. They will also meet with local community leaders. On July 25th, delegates from seven western states will gather on campus for the annual meeting of the Pacific Area of the National Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. 175 delegates are expected to attend. The meeting is sponsored by the Alaska Association of Soil Conservation Subdistricts, which was formed last fall. On July 26th, the new Arctic Health Research Center on the West Ridge will be formally dedicated. The building is located adjacent to the Alaska Water Laboratory and the university's new biosciences building, the first facilities of an Arctic Research Center on the Ridge. The construction of a fourth building, a new geophysical institute, will start in the West Ridge next summer. Prince Rainier and Princess Grace of Monaco will tour the campus as part of a three-day visit to the Fairbanks area. The royal couple will be hosted during their campus visit by University President and Mrs. William R. Wood. Altogether, more than 1,300 people are expected to be on campus during this week. A busy week at your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. This Is Your University is recorded in the studios of KUAC, the University of Alaska Educational FM radio station. The station has a dual purpose: to provide cultural enrichment for Alaskans and to train interested students in broadcasting. Today we shall discuss KUAC, what its programs are, and what its plans are for the future on This Is Your University. We have with us today Mr. Joel Fleming, acting manager for KUAC. Mr. Fleming, first off, the most obvious question: just what is KUAC?
KUAC right now is a 3,000 watt FM radio station serving the Fairbanks area. As you mentioned, we have a dual purpose. It started off strictly as a student training situation. The university operates a newspaper for students who are interested in taking journalism field. It operates a theater for people who are interested in going into theater work. And about 4 years ago, the university started operating a radio station for practical experience, laboratory experience for students in broadcasting. And then over the time, as it began to grow in number of people who were interested in programming, we took on sort of a secondary job, which really wasn't in the original plan, and that was serving the people in the Fairbanks area. And this, in a way, becomes part of an extension of the university off the campus, providing informational programming, cultural programming, and general news and information to the people of Fairbanks.
Is the university radio station funded by the university itself?
Yes, it is. It is budgeted within the university's regular budget as a part of the speech, drama, and radio department. However, the last couple of years, the university has been very lucky. We have obtained federal aid from the U.S. Office of Education to improve the programming and to provide more adult education programming to the people of the state. And so for the past 2 years, we've been operating on a budget much increased over what it was in the past, and in fact it's a 75-25% matching money federal, that for every dollar of state funds that goes into it, we receive $3 worth of federal funds. So we've been able to improve our programming quality, expand the amount of time not only on the air but also in production of programming and in the development of programs, to the point that we're now not only serving just the Fairbanks area, but through a tape network, as we call it, where we will produce programs of interest to people in the state of Alaska here, then these are distributed throughout the state on the commercial radio stations, very much as this program is distributed, so that we can provide even a wider-reaching statewide service for the university.
Well, just how many students are involved in KUAC productions?
During the school year, we'll probably have about 30 or 40 students, some of whom are majoring in broadcasting, some of whom are just interested in broadcasting, working at the station. This not only includes training as announcers and technicians and engineers and production people, but also the preparation of programs, the editing and preparing of news, the preparation of documentary programs, and a wide range of things along this line.
Well, I understand that KUAC is undergoing quite a transformation this summer. Could you tell us about that, Mr. Fleming?
Well, it hasn't happened yet. We had hoped that the equipment would have arrived. This year, we secured another federal grant, a continuation of the one that we had last year, and this is going to provide us with new equipment, which is badly needed here at the radio station, both in our control room and transmitter-wide. It will also provide us more personnel. In other words, more of the students can be hired on a part-time basis as well as voluntary work, and also more money available for programming, to develop programs of interest to Alaskans revolving around Alaskan problems, and also to bring in other programs from the outside that aren't otherwise available to the state. So we're looking forward very eagerly to our new equipment, which should improve the sound of the station considerably and make it really very valuable as far as the quality of our programming is concerned.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Joel Fleming. We've been talking with Joel Fleming, acting manager for the University of Alaska radio station, KUAC, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. On the Brava Hill overlooking the Tananaw Valley, three University of Alaska students are searching for relics of a long-vanished culture that flourished in Alaska some 8,000 years ago. They are excavating the remaining portions of an archaeological site discovered on the edge of the University of Alaska campus over 30 years ago.
this excavation program is our story today on This Is Your University. Native artifacts, both Indian and Eskimo, are found throughout Alaska, and the University of Alaska campus is no exception. People have reported finding artifacts, usually projectile points, on the campus since the school first opened in 1922. The campus site was discovered in 1933 when workmen were digging post holes in the vicinity of the present Bunnell building parking lot. The site was first excavated during the summer of 1934 by university students John Dorsch and Albert Dickey, working under the direction of Childs Frick of the American Museum of Natural History. Further work was conducted during the summer of 1935 and 36, in part under the supervision of Frohlich Rainey and also associated with the museum, and at that time professor of anthropology at the university. By 1936, approximately half of the site had been excavated. Many artifacts were discovered during the excavations, and among them, the first items to show a positive relationship with artifacts found in Asia. This discovery gave considerable support to the theory that man crossed from Asia into North America via the land bridge over the Bering Strait. In 1966, the university decided to expand the parking lot below the Bunnell building and prepare a permanent site for the university's 49-foot totem pole. Before the work started, the Department of Anthropology decided to complete the excavation of the campus site to see if any material remained. The excavations began last summer and have continued this year. The students now working on the site are Mike Ahmet, Bill Howe, and Ken Humphreys. Dr. Edward Housley, of Assistant Professor of Anthropology at the university, is in charge of the excavations. The new excavations have uncovered a surprising amount of material. Dr. Housley attributed much of the success in the finding of that material to techniques such as screening, which were not employed so extensively in earlier excavations. The material recovered included projectile points, burions, which are a type of stone engraving tools, a small, precise blades that resemble pint-sized, single-edge razor blades. A large number of broken blades and stone flakes also have been recovered. According to Dr. Housley, the site was probably a combination game lookout and flint chipping station. He feels that during the time the site was occupied, the Chena River probably ran closer to the bluff on which the site is situated, making the site an ideal vantage point from which to watch for game. While hunters waited for their quarry to appear, they spent the time manufacturing new tools. The campus site material, according to Dr. Housley, closely resembles that found at the lower levels of the Onion Portage site in the Kobuk River and at the Anangula Island off the tip of the Alaskan Peninsula. All three of the sites have been dated at from 8,000 to 8,500 years old. The campus site is only one of the several archaeological sites university archaeologists are studying this summer. University students are also working at Healy Lake, Kachemak Bay, under a human ecology program of the university's Institute of Arctic Biology. And next month, Dr. Housley and his crew will travel to Point Hope, where they will conduct archaeological survey of erosion-threatened sites of the U.S. Corps of Engineers. These men are trying to discover some of the secrets of Alaska's past, one of the many programs of your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.
From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. The International Symposium on Circumpolar Health-Related Problems met on the University of Alaska campus from July 23rd through July 28th.
Medical experts from nearly all the polar countries of the world attended the symposium, which was sponsored by the University and the Arctic Institute of North America. Topics included pulmonary diseases, virus diseases, zoonosis, that is, diseases carried by animals which can be transmitted to man, environmental stresses on human behavior, physiology, nutrition, and current and potentially hazardous contamination of the environment. Many of the papers presented were directly concerned with Alaskan problems, and today we shall present short summaries of some of these important and revealing papers on This Is Your University. The chairman of the six-day symposium was Dr. C. Earl Albrecht, formerly an Alaskan Territorial Commissioner of Health and now professor of preventative medicine at the Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia. In addition to serving as chairman, Dr. Albrecht presented a paper calling for a campaign to eliminate five infectious diseases from the Arctic. He proposed that health authorities begin a fight to wipe out smallpox, polio, measles, tuberculosis, and syphilis as soon as possible. Dr. Albrecht explained that the Arctic areas were ideal for such a campaign because small populations and relatively isolated communities would make control much easier. Tuberculosis, he predicted, would be the most difficult disease to conquer because it is closely associated with the living conditions, a general state of health and nutrition. But he pointed out that already there has been great success in the fight against tuberculosis in Alaska. This campaign of disease eradication, rather than merely treatment, he concluded, would take a long time, but in the long run, more human lives would be saved. Three University of Alaska professors presented papers to the symposium dealing with the effects of cold on man and animals. Dr. Lawrence Irving, advisory scientific director of the university's Institute of Arctic Biology, discussed his studies of the adaptation of man and animals to the Arctic cold. He explained that both man and animals have successfully adapted to the cold, but how their bodies do this is still not clear. The insulating fur of the large Arctic mammals and the fur clothing of man conserves body heat to a high degree, making it relatively simple to keep the major portions of the body warm. The extremities, however, the legs, the feet, eyes, and nose, must be thinly covered to provide mobility and sense. Both the Arctic adapted man and the Arctic animals conserve body heat by somehow allowing these extremities to cool much below body temperature. Dr. Irving explained this. This way, they do not waste as much heat. Dr. Peter Morrison, director of the Institute of Arctic Biology, discussed studies made on the climbing party that made the first successful winter assault on Mount McKinley last winter. He said the studies indicated that the stresses of mountaineering, such as cold and altitude, have marked effects on man's mental abilities and balance. He described a series of experiments which proved difficult or impossible for the climbers at the 18,000-foot level on the mountain, but which were easily accomplished at lower elevation. The studies were only a preliminary investigation, and he called for more investigation in this area. Dr. Jack Pettijohn, professor of physiology, described his studies of urban cold injuries. He explained that city dwellers are very prone to cold injuries because they do not dress properly for cold weather. He listed four types of cold injuries that were found in the Fairbanks area, explaining that most of these injuries were caused by only moderate cold exposure. The injuries included cold sensitivity, loss of feeling in the hands, palsy, and frostbite. These, then, were some of the many topics discussed during the International Symposium on Circumpolar Health-Related Problems. In all, more than 100 scientists representing seven countries were there at your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. We'll be right back.
On August 28th, more than 500 people will converge on the University of Alaska campus to attend the 1967 Alaska Science Conference. The conference is sponsored by the university and the Alaska Division of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, more commonly called the AAAS. During the five-day meeting, Alaskan scientists in many fields will discuss their current and completed research programs. In addition to the scientific sessions, a public lecture and a series of related short conferences will be held. These activities, then, are our story today on This Is Your University. We're happy to have with us today Dr. Peter Morrison, Director of the University of Alaska's Institute of Arctic Biology and President of the Alaska Division of the AAAS. Well, Dr. Morrison, can you give our audience some idea of just what will happen at the conference?
The AAAS is a broad scientific organization encompassing all scientific specialities, and as such allows cross-disciplinary contact between specialists. This is the only opportunity for Alaskan scientists to come together locally in a meeting, and because of our long distance from the rest of the United States, represents the only opportunity for many to participate in a scientific meeting.
Will there be other scientists from outside visiting this conference?
The bulk of the conference will be Alaskans, but they will be joined by some special speakers coming from the lower states, as well as scientists who have come to Alaska for field studies during the current summer. We think it's particularly important to bring in these workers to this conference.
Well, just what topics will the conference encompass?
Well, the heart of the conference is the formal scientific sessions, which are organized according to the divisions of the AAAS: biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry, physics, social science, medicine, public health, and natural resources. Some 200 papers or field reports are scheduled under these topics, which will be carried out over six half-day sessions.
Well, have these conferences been held annually here at the University of Alaska campus?
Every third year, the conference is held at the university here, and in past years we've alternated between Juneau and Anchorage. Next year is an innovation. We hope to hold the meeting in Whitehorse and to associate interested Canadian scientists who are concerned with the Arctic.
Well, during this conference there will be many short conferences or departmental meetings that will be going on. Could you give our people an idea as to what will happen in those meetings?
Yes, there are three important groups. One is in geology, organized by Professor Forbes of the Geology Department on Alaskan tectonics. This meeting will be in the 2 days before the regular sessions. A second important meeting is of the National Academy of Sciences National Research Council Polar Committee Panel on Biological and Medical Sciences, which is coming and meeting in Alaska for a special look at problems in Arctic science. The third important meeting will be held in the 3 days following the conference and will be on the organic matter in natural waters, and is organized by Professor Donald Hood of the Institute of Marine Sciences.
Well, are any of these meetings open to the public? You had mentioned earlier, I believe, a public lecture that will be held.
Yes, we have actually two public events. One will be a lecture by Professor Alfred S. Romer, who is a distinguished paleontologist, a vertebrate paleontologist, and former director of the Harvard Museum of Comparative Zoology. He is also retiring president of the AAAS nationally and chairman of their board of directors. He will talk about on some aspects of vertebrate paleontology and continental drift. Another public event will be a band concert by the Army Field Band, which will be touring Alaska at the time of the conference.
Well, Dr. Morrison, any scientists that might be listening, is it possible for them to make reservations for the conference?
Yes, there are no restrictions on registration at the conference, although the scientific sessions are restricted to those who register. And information and reservations can be obtained by writing to the Institute of Arctic Biology at the university.
Well, Dr. Morrison, this certainly sounds like it's going to be a very interesting conference, and thank you for taking the time to tell us about it today. We've been talking with Dr. Peter Morrison, Director of the Institute of Arctic Biology, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.